I would like to speak to you for a few minutes on two psalms, Psalm 42 and 43. In some manuscripts, these two psalms run together as one complete psalm, and they certainly deal with the same subject. They seem to run together to me. I'll take them as one. What is the psalm about? The psalmist is speaking to himself, and he is an example to us of a believer speaking to himself because he is depressed, because he is downcast, as he puts it. Over and over again, verse 5, for example, verse 11, that's in Psalm 42, and verse 5 of Psalm 43, again and again he says, "Why are you downcast? Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you depressed? Why are you so disturbed within me?" He's speaking to himself about his depression, about his spiritual depression, his downcastness, his lowness, his sense of grief, his sense of rejection, and so on. And so I want to speak very briefly, but I hope to some comfort to any believer who might be passing through such an experience. And believers do pass through these kind of experiences where they feel, for some reason or another, cast down, low. Now, how can they be brought out of this sadness and lowness? Well, the psalmist tells us here. He speaks to himself, first of all. He does not allow his circumstances to speak to him. He speaks to himself, and he tells himself. He preaches a little sermon. And maybe one of the benefits, if there's any benefit in what I say, it might help you, believer, just to take the word of God for yourself and do what I'm doing. Just talk to yourself from these scriptures. You may say, well, I might make a mistake. I might not interpret it quite right. Well, no doubt. I'm sure that in my books that I've written and in my sermons that I've preached, I've made many mistakes, not deliberately. But we might say, apart from Jesus Christ, the man that never made a mistake, never made anything. The psalmist speaks to himself, and we must learn to speak to ourselves, because we can be cast down. Let me have a word with you, unbeliever. I wouldn't pull the wool over your eyes. We Christians, you know what it is to have afflictions and troubles, but we know where to go in our afflictions, and this psalmist tells us. First of all, he addresses himself. Now, where do you go, unbeliever, in your troubles? What's your antidote? What's your comfort? Let's look at what the psalmist says is his. Now, let us be clear, believer, let us be clear. We're in Psalm 42 and 43. We're in the Old Covenant, that's very clear. He uses Old Covenant language. How should we interpret that? As we always interpret the Old Testament, we interpret it through the New. We put on the glasses of the New Testament to read the Old Testament. We don't go the other way round. We don't try and get to the New Testament through the Old. We get back to the Old through the New. And what do we look for supremely? Well, we know from many scriptures in the New Testament, 1 Peter, Luke 24, that Christ is in all the scriptures. Christ is here. Now let me show you how this psalmist finds comfort. First of all, why is he cast down? Well, people are taunting him. People are laughing at him. He can't meet with God. Let me just read some of the verses to you. Verse 2. When can I go and meet with God? Obviously, he feels cut off from God. In verse 3, men are laughing at him. Where is your God? Then he remembers, verse 4, how he used to go to the house of God, the temple, the tabernacle, or David's tent. Let's call it the temple. He used to go with the multitude, with the crowds, to the house of God, to the temple. And he used to lead it, actually, verse 4. And he was shouting with joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. But now his soul is cast down. He's in low spirits. Why? Because he can't go with the crowd to the house of God. Land comes into it in verse 6. He thinks that God has forgotten him in verse 9. Verse 10, foes are taunting him. I'm in Psalm 42. Come to Psalm 43. The ungodly are mocking him or persecuting him or in some way hurting him. He's surrounded by deceitful and wicked men, verse 1. He feels God has rejected him. He has enemies in verse 2 of chapter Psalm 43. again, he's cut off from God's holy mountain, Mount Zion, to the place where God dwells, verse 3. He wants to go back to the altar. He can't go to the altar. For some reason, he's cut away from the public worship and where God is. God, who is his joy and his delight, and he's cut off from verse 4 of Psalm 43. And so on. Now, how are we going to apply this? He uses figurative illustrations about deer panting and so on in the hunt and longing for water to drink and so on. He feels men are against him. He can't go to the temple. He can't join in the throng. He can't sing with the people. He can't worship with the people, and he can't see the altar. He can't hear, be part of the sacrifices anymore, and he can't play his instrument anymore, his harp or whatever it might be, but his harp in verse 4 of chapter 43. How are we going to interpret this? Well, there's no doubt about it. If we come through the New Testament, what should we find? Let's go through Hebrews 12. Let's go through Hebrews 13. Let's go through 1 Corinthians 5. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's go through John 4. There is no mountain now where we worship God. There is no special place. We worship God everywhere. Hebrews 12, Mount Zion is where Christ is, the church. And that's not a building. That's the people of God. Hebrews chapter 13, we have an altar. What am I saying? When the psalmist is rejoicing in temple and choirs and sacrifices and altars and festivals and festive days and so on, what is it with the believer to rejoice in? We have an altar. We have a festival. We have a Passover. We have a place, a house. We have a mountain. But none of that's physical. Christendom, you see, has invented all these things in a physical way. So we have physical altars, physical temples, physical buildings. And instead of becoming a place where we can meet out of the weather, or whatever it might be, it's now become something in its own entity, and it's taken over the old covenant position and brought it into the new covenant. It's quite wrong. The New Testament equivalent of this is not, oh, I hope for Sunday to come again so I can go to my place of worship and sit in the pew and listen to the man talk. I'm not against preaching at all, of course not. I'm trying to do it now. But we mustn't read Christendom into this passage. Where is the psalmist's hope? Well, in old covenant language, I know what it is. But he's a prophet, and he's pointing forward to me. Now I've got the new covenant fully revealed in the New Testament. I don't have to guess. Christ is my altar. We come to Christ, Hebrews 12. There's no special place now, John 4. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ is our altar. Christ is all, Colossians 3:11. So, believer, are you cast down? Where are you going to find hope? Talk to yourself. And what should you tell yourself? Go back to Jesus. Go back to Jesus. You've taken your eye off Jesus somewhere. Look to Jesus. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. Men are laughing at you. Go to Jesus. He loves you with an everlasting love. His blood washes you from all sin. It has washed you from all sin. There's no condemnation now. Men are criticizing you. There is no condemnation to any man who's in Christ Jesus. Men are accusing you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ who justifies. It is Christ who died. It is God who justifies. It is Christ who died. Yea, rather, who is risen again and is even at the right hand of God interceding for us. Nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Are you cast down because the devil is reminding you of your sins? Have you failed again? Are you being cut off from opportunity and service? Are men ignoring you? I speak of what I know. I speak of what I know. I'm not making this up. This applies to me, this psalm. This spoke to me before it spoke to you, my friend. Before I spoke to you, it spoke to me. I know what this psalmist is talking about. People laughing, people ignoring, people rejecting. Oh, yes. And the Lord has shown us astonishing things, has he not, some of us? Yes, you feel it. You don't feel at home with all this institutionalism. You don't feel at home with all this Christendom. And you want the reality of Christ. You want the Spirit working within you. Let's do as the psalmist did. Talk to ourselves. Go back to Jesus. Do you want to be assured? Do you want comfort? Do you want consolation? Do you want hope? Do you want sanctification? Do you want anything in the Christian life? Any experience at all? What is it? You want to know God? come through Christ. Put your hope in God. You will yet praise Him. He is your Savior and your God. If the psalmist could speak like that, think what you can say. If only this man who's writing this psalm, these two psalms, if only he could come back and have all the glories of the gospel, the suffering Christ on the cross, the resurrection, the pouring out of the Spirit, the assurance, the confidence, and all the letters of the apostles, to buoy him up, to nerve him, to strengthen him, surely he would say to us, why are you downcast? Did not Jesus save you from your sins when you came to him for justification? Come to him for sanctification. Come to him for assurance. Put your hope in him. God is your stronghold. God is your peace. God is your light. God is your altar. God is your sacrifice. Christ is your sacrifice. Christ is your Passover. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in Christ. Come to God through Christ. This is not whistling in the dark, my friend. Our doubts and fears and sufferings and trials, God has mysterious ways of dealing with us, I know, but I think a large proportion of our troubles arise because we have taken our eyes off of Jesus. Oh, that my soul could love him more. When shall I find my willing heart all taken up with Christ? Whom to know is life eternal, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the secret, my friend. Unbeliever, you don't want religion. You don't want the world to give you hope. There's only one place for satisfaction, for peace, for salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. We believers have proved it. Time and again, though, we forget, and we let the world and all its opposition and our circumstances cloud our vision. The psalmist says, come back to Jesus. Think upon him. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And supremely we can apply that to our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Jesus, my friend. Put your hope in him. You will yet praise him. He is your Savior, and he is your God.